right. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you together for answered prayers. Amen. Okay, so we are going to be continuing quickly, you know, into our teaching. It's going to be pretty short this night, hoping. But how many of us are learning something from the teachings that are coming? Are you learning something? Is it helping you? It's shaping your hearts to become and to receive, I mean, to receive the best of the pastoral ministry or the ministry of your pastor. And that is very key. Very key that we pay attention to. We ought to pay attention to how to receive and profit from the teachings of your pastor. And we got to clearly establish that we are pastored by words. We are pastored by words. And it's expedient that we get to understand this. And we also got to see how that those words are supposed to be sacred to us in receiving. So when we hear the words coming, those words are supposed to be sacred. They're supposed to be cherished. They're supposed to be reverenced, right? As those words come in, they are supposed to be reverenced. So the words are supposed to be reverenced. They are supposed to be reverenced. They are supposed to be sacred to us as we receive that. And this evening, I'm sure I'll just put in just a bit of an icing, you know, to spice up whatever it is that I've been saying 2 days ago and then yesterday. You know, imagine if you were employed and you were paid, let's say $100,000 for wherever it is that you worked. So you were paid $100,000. Do you know that even if your boss insults your father, insults your mother, insults your whole household, you say, "Boss, insult more." In fact, I have an auntie that you do not know. She's called Auntie so-so-and-so. In fact, insult her too. She's a very big fool. Yeah. And then you say, some of you are saying, "Hey, you will not say that, but it's very true. You are most likely going to say, no, even my whole family, the insults, no, not 100,000 Ghana cedis, so $100,000. You say, "See, boss, even my next door neighbor, add him. In fact, you have not even insulted him. Insult him." Say, you are so careless. Say, yes, boss, I am the most careless person I have ever come across. But boss, thank you for keeping up with my carelessness. See? And he looks at you very quietly. Get out of my sight. Boss, before I get out of your sight, is there anything else I should do? Tea? I bought coffee while I was coming. Is there something more you would have me do? Get out of my sight. Thank you, sir. With prostrating, following the thank you, sir. It's like you lie down, the way the Nigerians greet. You lie down. Right? And then you go out and somebody's trying to say, can you imagine? That boss thinks he can just be ordering people. He said, my brother. That boss is my boss. So please don't talk about him. Don't talk about him, please. I don't want you to talk about him. Be very careful about the way you speak about my boss and the way you have things to say. See? Yes, where's she? Say, I'm not far gone. Come back here. Yes, sir, right away, sir. Right? So you find yourself just hovering around instructions. Now, why is that so? It's because you place value. You recognize that there is value on him. There is value on him. What he gives to you, you have great value for. So you don't mind receiving all the backlashing, all the whatever, just so that you can be paid well. Say, this is your boss, you need to really leave him. He said, please, oh, I beg you, please just allow my boss. My boss is the best boss in the whole wide world. Because at the end of the month, you have something good coming into your account. And sometimes bosses like that can be very difficult. But they really tip. Like when they are tipping you, so aside the $100,000, they just tip you with some $3,000. They go and buy something and be of good character the next time. Be of good character the next time. Be of good character the next time. Say, yes, I was. You know, was me. I've always loved you. Me from the beginning. See, none of your insults have ever even hurt me. Oh, it doesn't hurt me. Insult me. Any insult, just throw it out on me. I'm ready, boss. You see? But there's also another boss who doesn't want to really pay you. You see? Gives you 300 cedis every month. Then he now comes to ask you, get away from my side. You say, eh? Eh? What did you say? Eh? Get away from your side. Which one is side? You don't even have side. In fact, when we look at you, there's nothing. So there's nothing. Eh? You don't even pay me well. You are trying to order me around. Right? Because you also get to understand what value that one carries. So it's just about value. Who brings value to you is who you actually esteem. That's it. When you sense more value in a thing, you are able to receive. No matter how you think you know, when you place value on a thing, you're able to receive. So this is a hard saying, actually. But if you learn to place value on your pastor's words, right, then you will not pick offense. You will not be angry. You will not get into the flesh as to the things that he says to correct you and to make sure that you become whatever God wants you to become. Is this value? Just value, that's all. Just like you place value on that person that pays you 10,000 or 100,000 US dollars. The same way, when you get to realize this is God's person for my life, then you can place value on the words. So your pastor's teachings will not always be pampering. They wouldn't always be pampering. There are times it will come to shake you. Times it will come to prune you. There are times it will come to wake you up, to school you, to beat you. There are times that might not necessarily sound pleasant to you. But when you learn to place value on those words, you get to receive no matter how hard they come. So you must be learned to receive the teachings whichever way it comes to you. And don't forget, if God speaks through your pastor and you're going to be pastored by words, those words will not come pleasantly. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. You know, people like it when it's all nice. You say good things about them. You know, you talk every time we should have something good to say about you. Yeah? That's why we shouldn't say anything bad about you. We shouldn't say that you are fooling. Yeah? We should always say, oh, you are the nicest person in the whole world. Hmm? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So pastor's words and pastor's teachings in doctrine, which is teaching actually, will sometimes there to prove, to correct. You don't tell how the correction is done. You receive the words that come to you. You are instructed. So whichever way it comes, you must learn to place value on those words. Because you know what comes in those words. You know that there's $100,000 in those words. And even more, an unquantifiable, you know, amount, priceless, you cannot pay in those words. In fact, one time Jesus taught his disciples, and these disciples were not ready to receive the words of their pastor. So they rebelled and they left the church. They left Jesus. And they lost, obviously, out of God's plan for their life. What was supposed to help them offended them. And they didn't know how to receive. See John 6:60. John 6:60. And then we'll read 66. John 6:66 to 68. John 6:60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" No. This thing is too hard. Why? This was Jesus, and this was what his disciples were saying about him, about their pastor. I said, "Hey, this guy is not correct. It's a hard thing. What he's saying doesn't make sense." So see what happened in verse 66 to verse 68. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Yeah, they walked no more with him. They walked no more with him. So there are some teachings that come to actually expose whether people are following or not. Yes, it just comes to expose. Yeah, there are teachings that are like that. They come to expose whether they are following or not. So when the teachings come like that, you see that everywhere is on fire. Yes. And the ones who are actually really with you, they are happy about the teaching. Yeah, they are happy. The ones who are really with you, they'll be happy with the teaching. The ones who are not, they'll say, ah. It's a hard thing. You know? I realize that some people who want to always have me, hey. Hey. I love you. Oh, wow. Oh, beautiful. Oh, hey. Hey. Wow. Hey. The men say, hey, that's not how it's supposed to be done. Say, hey, Pastor, why are you telling me that it shouldn't be done that way? Okay? So you see that they decide to leave and they decide not to be called disciples any longer. And sometimes you give a very hard instruction to know those who are disciples. It's hard. The instruction is hard. Yes, it's a test for discipleship. It's that you throw out an instruction that is hard to follow and then you watch. It's like a test trial. So in John 6:66, the people turn away their backs at him. So many, you are not the only one who has had somebody say, no, what you are saying is too hard. Are you telling me that I should not, what do you call it? I should not go anywhere I want to go? Are you trying to tell me that I shouldn't go anywhere I want to go? Am I not free to make a decision on my own? You say, no, you're not free to make a decision on your own. Say, oh. Am I not free to listen to anybody I want to listen to? Say, no, you're not free to listen to anybody you want to listen to. Here, we listen to our pastor. Say, oh. No, it's no, it's nonsense. Right? So the moment you draw the line is when you see real disciples. That's what happens. And let me tell you something. You people, it's in the years to come that you would thank me. Yes. You think you are thankful. You are not even yet thankful yet. Yes. Yes. It's hidden in the years. You will not get to understand what we were building all this while. So the people made up their minds. They left. We're not going to be here again. Because what are you saying? It's a hard thing to do. And Jesus, he's a very tough man. Some of you think Jesus was just a soft man. Listen to what he asked them. Then he said, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? He was trying to ask that maybe if you want to go, do it quickly so I can make another shuffling. Yeah, do it quickly so I can reshuffle. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's a smart disciple. Where are we going? We don't have anywhere to go. You are a teacher. We don't have anywhere to go. You are a teacher. You are a pastor. We don't have any pastor. We are a pastor. We are saying this. We are doing it. That's all. And let me tell you something, you know. In all my time of, you know, doing all of this work, it is quite interesting. But you see, you would sometimes wonder why people cannot clearly see that this is God's plan for their life. Sometimes you wonder. Sometimes you wonder. And I see it over and over and over again. Sometimes you wonder, can't this person see that this is God's plan for their life? Can't this person see that this is how they are going to be helped? Can't this person see that this is how they are going to be safe in what God wants them to do? But unfortunately, it's difficult to see. It's difficult to see. So don't be a disciple that makes a decision to leave. Those who left, we never heard of them again. Those who stayed, at least we heard of them. Those who left, we never heard of them again. Those who left, we never heard of them again. We don't, once they left us all. You see the way God's grace is carrying us and helping that we produce ministers in all the people that we have here. It's truly remarkable by the grace of God. Yeah. By the grace of God. Someone will say, oh, it's not. And then they just, step out, jump out. And that's how we don't get to hear of them again. We don't get to hear. Whether they are doing ministry, we don't know. Whether they are involved in it, we can't tell. When you recognize God's plan, stick to it. When you recognize God's plan, stay with it. Don't allow anything move you. And you see, I'm not saying this to brag or something. Many people are tied to what we are doing right now. Yes, many. Many. And you'll be shocked that if you step out of it, you just might be stepping out of a major part of God's plan for your life. Yes. I'm not saying if you step out of it, you will be, so that you don't say that I'm saying that you will be. No, you might be, but the chances are very high. It's very, very high. The chance is very high that you will not. Yes, the chance is very high. I've had some people say, God put them. They say, no, actually. And over time, you're trying to prove a point. Who are you trying to prove a point to? You shouldn't try to prove a point. If you are doing it, it's going to be there that you are doing it. You shouldn't try to prove a point to anyone that you are still doing it. Don't prove a point. Just do it. We're not proving a point to anyone. We're just doing it. So, when you walk out of it, you just might be on a very higher scale or something. You just might be. And in fact, you are. We're not saying you don't have a business, or you have a business. We're not saying you're not working. You're working. We don't say, but the thing called ministry and the way God wanted you to do it, you've missed it. Yes. The thing called ministry and you serving God the way He wants you to, in how He wants you to do it, it's not there. Yeah. Discipleship is not there. I've had some people come to ask me, oh, how do you do discipleship? I'm like, disciple, I can't teach you discipleship. You must be a disciple first before you know how we do discipleship. And there are others who might try to duplicate discipleship and they realize discipleship is not the way it is discipleship. So there's a way to this thing. Don't let anybody deceive you and don't let anybody talk you out of it. So, where do we go? To whom shall we go? What shall we do? Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep it on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep it on the ball. So God's granting you wisdom. God's granting you wisdom to be able to make firm decisions. Like I said, you know who your pastor is. You understand that you are going to be pastored by words. And those words are supposed to be seen as sacred. And you will go ahead to treasure those words and to receive those words. Treasure and receive, whether from the pulpit or whether in normal conversations, you're going to treasure. Words are all we've got. If you met a prophet, words is all he's got. Words, that's all he's got. But those words, if you're intelligent, can make and unmake. Those words can make and they can unmake. Those words can bless. Those words can change things. So I believe strongly that we're going to be strong as a people. The devil dreads it when the people know their leader. He dreads it. He hates it. When the people know their pastor, they know his voice. Their hearts are knitted to his voice. He hates it. Because that's how he kind of causes confusion in their midst. Because to cause confusion means that you have to cause discord in the people. So you're going to know how to receive words from your pastor. And I trust that as you begin to, oh boy, they're going to bless you. And the same words you heard casually, you will hear them again and they will have a transformative power in your life. The same words you heard, you took casually, you will hear them again and they should do something to you. They should do something to you. They should do something to you. They should change something about you. Do something to you. Change something about you. The word of God taught you should do something to you. Change something about you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for hearts that are open to your word in the words that are spoken. Thank you for everyone for causing them to receive and to walk in your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.